Hello and welcome to International Report. Scotland used to be one of the most dangerous places in the developed world, and Glasgow in particular had an exceptionally high level of gang-related crime. But today, thanks to a groundbreaking approach to tackle violence, Scotland has started to solve its problem. There's still much progress to be made, but treating violence as a public health issue has proven to be the most efficient strategy. Assa Semeke-Roman reports from Glasgow.
This is Glasgow, one of the most vibrant cities in the UK, known in particular for its extraordinary music scene. But just over a decade ago, it was also known as the murder capital of Europe. The biggest Scottish city experienced higher levels of insecurity and violence than anywhere on the continent. The nation of just 5 million inhabitants suffered over 130 homicides per year, including 40 in Glasgow alone, according to a World Health Organization report. At one point, Scots were three times more likely to be murdered than people living in England and Wales. That is why the Scottish Violence Reduction Unit, based in Glasgow city centre, was born in 2005. Since its creation, the total number of homicides recorded in Scotland has halved, reaching its lowest figure since 1976. Alastair Muir, a police officer and a chief inspector within Police Scotland, is the deputy director of the Violence Reduction Unit. He explains the philosophy of the VRU.
Policing is important, but it's not working to reduce this as we could. So through the work of two very influential people, they came upon the public health approach, which is really, in its essence, is taking the problem of violence away from just the criminal justice system. So it's saying, what's health doing? What's education doing? What's our third sector doing? What's the voluntary sector? What's the private sector? What's everybody doing?
Kristin Goodall, a consultant oral surgeon dealing with patients with facial trauma, has more on what a public health approach really means. She is a founding member of Medics Against Violence, a charity founded in 2008, working in collaboration with the VRU. Its goal is to educate young people about the harm that knives can cause.
So the first thing about the public health approach is that it's not limited to people who work in health or indeed to people who work in public health. So the public health approach is about involving everybody in trying to solve the problem that violence brings to us. The second thing is, yes, it does treat violence a bit like a disease epidemic. So the model that we use is the World Health Organization model of the public health approach, which you would use if you were, for example, dealing with an outbreak of cholera in a country. You would apply this model. So you have to know what the problem is that you're dealing with. So you have to have some numbers and some data around what that is. You then look at the risk and protective factors. You would then develop interventions to deal with those risk factors, test them out on a small scale, and then if they work, you would scale them up and roll them out really widely.
Kristin Goodall depicts a grim picture of what a typical Saturday night was in Glasgow 10 years ago.
We would go down to see maybe 4 to 6 patients every night, and they would have slashes across their face from knife wounds, sometimes knives, sometimes machetes, sometimes other sharp objects, or they would have been hit with other blunt objects like baseball bats, golf clubs, pool cues, bricks, anything, fists. And so those people would have broken jaws, broken noses, broken cheekbones, and a combination of all those things. So we then had to take those patients to theatre, to the operating theatre. Now, the patients with the slashes across their face and broken jaws, we had to fix straight away. The other ones, we would usually wait till the next day to do those. But it was busy. I mean, you were on the go all the time. And actually, going down to the emergency department, you would see all the other people that were in there as a result of violence who had injuries to other parts of their bodies. And it was relentless.
Susan McVie is a professor of quantitative criminology at the University of Edinburgh's Law School. As the director of the Understanding Inequalities Project and the Edinburgh Study of Youth Transitions and Crime, she's an expert in understanding violence and knife crime in a Scottish context. She has looked at the reasons why young people carry weapons in the first place.
most people, young people that carry weapons, are actually just doing it for protection, and it's probably because they're living in a risky area or they have a risky lifestyle, which is quite often no fault of their own. It's because of their upbringing or because of where they live or, you know, because of the school area that they're living in. So if we make society safe for everyone, then that would prevent much more crime.
She insists that the standard policing and criminal justice approach is generally not a straightforward solution to reducing violence. On the contrary, it keeps the issue very much alive.
There's not a shred of evidence to show that doing more and more and more stop and search reduces crime, except in very particular circumstances where perhaps you've had a very large increase in crime in a very localised area and you know who's involved in that. If there were two very specific gangs, then stop and search would be helpful in that situation. We know from the research that if you take a young person who's committed a crime and you're very punitive towards that individual, that they're more likely to offend when they come out the other end. They're also more likely to end up in poverty in their longer life course, and that poverty and that, you know, that higher level of risk leads to further offending and then further criminal justice outcomes. And it costs the country a lot of money to go down that punitive approach, whereas actually community-based disposals and responses to violence can be much cheaper and more effective.
Even if the results achieved by the Scottish Violence Reduction Unit are impressive, Scotland still has a long way to go before completely eradicating violence, says Alistair Muir.
We are a safer country than we were a decade ago, but we're not safe enough. We still have people with addictions. We still have levels of homelessness. We still have violence on many levels. Much of it is now behind closed doors. The relationship with alcohol in Scotland is quite poor. Much of the violence is alcohol-fueled. So how do we address such issues behind the door? So we are continually looking ahead and saying, well, OK, what's the next solution to the next problem before the problem becomes too big?
Reporting from Glasgow and Edinburgh, this is Assa Sanakiroman.